Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 384. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about rainforests, lowland gorillas, and a tank graveyard as we go to the Republic of the Congo. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Today's episode of the Amateur Traveler is sponsored by BloggerBridge.com. If you're not familiar with that name, then you haven't heard my news from this week, which is I have quit the day job to work on my own website. This is a website, though, not aimed at travelers, but aimed at people who are trying to connect with bloggers, specifically right now with travel bloggers. So if you are a travel blogger, or if you are a tourism board or a company that works with or wants to work with travel bloggers, check out bloggerbridge.com. And I normally have a news segment here and I don't talk about myself, but that's the news I'm focused on this week because quitting the day job is a fairly big thing to do, but it will also give me some ability to travel more and therefore will probably have some impact on the Amateur Traveler. So stay tuned for that. I'd like to welcome back to the show Chris Rosenkrantz, who's come to talk to us about the Republic of Congo. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks, Chris. Nice to talk to you again.
And I say welcome back to the show. Some of you will remember that Chris came on and talked to us about Yemen. And before we go in too much further, I also want to congratulate you on your marriage. Chris is now a newlywed.
Thank you so much. I'm very, very happy. And it's the most wonderful woman I've ever met.
And met a traveler in China from Russia.
Yep, that's it. And we got married on a ship on the equator in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
And Chris, can you put the Republic of Congo on the map for us?
The Republic of Congo joins the Democratic Republic of Congo, more or less dead center in Africa. If you would take a look at the map and link Africa and South America together, it would more or less connect with the Amazon River and the Amazon rainforest. So you're looking at what used to be the eastern half of the Amazon, and now it is the Congolese rainforest, and it comprised of the two nations of the Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo.
And of the two, Republic of Congo is a little more stable.
Yes, certainly. It's certainly a more tranquil and hushed and calm place. It doesn't really make news much. I guess that's a good thing compared to like the reputation of DRC. But they're both undergoing immense change. I think more or less in the past few years, the Republic of Congo has emerged with some new infrastructure to let tourists access some of the best parks like really the continent has going for it, plus the rainforest itself, which is something quite special, and the river.
So if we haven't already established, Chris is a little adventuresome. So why should we go to the Republic of Congo and what should we see?
Well, I think I understand and I empathize with a lot of backpackers and just general middle-aged and older-age people's desire to see Africa. I guess there's a variety of reasons. So a lot of people go for wildlife. A lot of people go for what they perceive as a raw and real adventure of one of the last great frontiers of travel. Africa is a very, very immensely diverse place culturally, and despite the socioeconomic problems, there's just a whole wealth of smiles to go around. And so I think people should travel to Congo to share in all these reasons that people visit places like South Africa, Tanzania, Kenya, Botswana, Madagascar, all of like the shining stars of African tourism now. Because in Congo, it is an emerging place where you can find a lot of the same wildlife and even more, some rare and endemic species. You can find one of the greatest river journeys, I think, in the world. And you can find a brand new train through the jungle for those who like the allure of train travel.
Now, it sounds like when you talked about the people there, It sounds to me like when I came back from Tanzania, I said, you go for the wildlife, but you go back for the people.
Yeah, I can certainly agree. I'm not actually a sort of a wildlife or nature tourist. I generally go for the cities and the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Congo certainly has what I think is probably the best nightlife of Africa. And some of the best, like the dancing and music scene in Brazzaville and Kinshasa is like really immense and really exciting. There's like lots and lots of tribes that their whole origin of their way of life comes from the river and a lot of the Congo River tributaries. And you can sort of hop from town to town on the boat. And there's a few new Asian and European built roads. Some of them are restored old colonial roads, but there's a lot of ways to get around now. Generally, some of the roads are better than country roads in Europe or USA. So it may be quite a bit different than you picture. And a lot of people's image of Congo may be something quite outdated from 10 or 20 years ago.
Okay. So where would we start? And how did you get there?
I got there by trying to maximize some frequent flyer miles I had. Inevitably, you're going to enter into the city of Brazzaville, which is one of the twin river cities. Brazzaville and Kinshasa are respectively the capitals of the Republic of Congo and the DRC. Brazzaville is a sleepy and tame, but sort of pleasant place on the river. And away to the west coast, accessible by train or road, is Pointe Noire, which I guess generally means black place or black point. No, I think for travel, it has a lot to offer. There's a really, really great park on the coast. But I think the reason people go to Pointe Noire is because it's sort of where all the big companies, including oil companies and other industrial companies, are. It's apparently a superb place to be an expat. And so Pointe Noire has a lot of airline servicing that city. And Brazzaville has pretty much all of the major Ethiopian, Sky, South African, and I believe Royal Air Maroc servicing Brazzaville and Kinshasa, and Turkish Airlines as well.
So you flew into Brazzaville?
Yes.
Yeah, on a major carrier.
Well, I flew into Brazzaville via Addis Ababa.
In Ethiopia.
On Ethiopian Airlines. And the flight was quite fine. You arrive at the airport, and what stuns you is it looks like some giant sort of green, either alien saucer or something like an Emerald City from Wizard of Oz. I've heard it described several times. It's Chinese built. It's brand new. It's very modern, almost hyper modern. And the facilities inside are like all glass and steel and polished. The pace of everything and all the operations of the airport is like typically African, but pretty friendly, not very intimidating. You come on through immigration, you might get a few questions and confirmations and smiles, but you won't be asked for any bribes or anything like that, at least on your way in. Then you come into the arrivals hall, and there's actually information and tourist information desk right when you get there. And there's some very nice people who can speak French, Chinese, English, probably German, those other languages, and I think Japanese. And from there, you can proceed to take a taxi. And I'm dead sure that you can get a taxi to anywhere in the city from the airport for $4. And then for future reference, for anything else you want to do in Brazzaville, it's only $2 to go point to point in the city anywhere you like.
So once you get there, it's fairly inexpensive place to travel, although the airline ticket, I imagine, is, for those people who are not as adept at frequent flyer miles as you are, is a little more expensive.
Yeah, true enough. But if you're flying out of the United States, it's not going to be very far above going anywhere else in Africa. Not even that far above going some places in Europe nowadays.
And I noticed that you say you probably won't have a problem with a bribe on the way in. And you say it sort of matter-of-factly, like, it will come up at some time in the trip.
Yeah, but I don't want to ward off anybody. I think that I think that you can expedite your immigration sometimes by offering either a small bottle of alcohol, which they will ask for sometimes, or a small maybe $5. They say you're not allowed to take local currency out of the country. Not that you'd really want it. You can't really use it outside anyway. But you can kind of do whatever you want. You can like take it out. Yeah, they politely and diplomatically will ask for bribes sometimes at the airport. But if it's Kinshasa, on the other hand, you'll be asked about 3 to 5 times and you'll never be able to speak to the airline until you get on the plane. And so every sort of discrepancy they'll capitalize upon. And it's a much more comfortable experience than its sister across the river.
Okay. And where would you go next?
Okay, well, first I'd pick a place to sleep. I happened to go couch surfing, which was a great experience. Like I stayed with a French-Canadian couple who started the international school in Brazzaville there. I soon saw most of the like the, how you say, the reputable and major hotels in the city. And according to TripAdvisor and according to most peer reviews I found on the internet, McHale's Hotel is pretty outstanding. Things in that range and in like the 4 to 5 star range, they'll start at around $200, go up to about $350. But there's also some standouts like Villa Monoma and Hippocampe, which I ended up not staying there, but I did write to them. And you can get a rate about $80 to $150 if you bargain with them for a few days. And they're very, very cordial and polite and reasonable.
Okay. And then what should you see?
Okay, you should absolutely hit the city for at least a day or two. And you're going to want to see the Brazza Memorial just very briefly. It's the guy who founded Brazzaville is Pierre de Brazza. And he was an Italian navigator who joined the French Navy. And he, quote-unquote, discovered the Congo River. And he founded a French embassy, so any African who made it to that point could get their freedom if they made it to his embassy there. Hmm. After that, you should certainly see the river. And the place to be in Brazzaville for eating, for river views, for just chilling with friends is a place called Mamiwata. And Mamiwata rests alongside the direct center of the nexus between Kinshasa and Brazzaville. So you get sweeping views of both cities from there. The food's outstanding. They have Wi-Fi, which is something you'll probably crave after the long flight. Right around the corner, you'll find a safe functioning ATM from Credit du Congo. So that's certainly where you start at least your day or your trip. And then one more thing I like to add. After being an expat in many places, I was really shocked of how great the supermarket there is. If before you go into the rainforest or any of your other trips or tours, I would recommend going to Casino Supermarket, and you will not believe like the beer, the meat, the foreign food selection. Like, you'll be very, very impressed, and you'll be very, very well taken care of for food all over the Congo.
Okay. And then it sounds like the river is really our destination.
Yeah, among several. You could give the river about 4 to 7 days. Mm-hmm. You can try to swing it yourself, but generally the way it goes is best to go with a tour where the boat will have like things like life jackets. They'll drive safely because there's
which is extra then.
Yeah. You can bargain your head off, but you're not necessarily going to get a better price, better experience, and like. I mean, there's all sorts of things. Like, there's a problem with man-eating crocodiles further up in the DRC. If you do a river tour, you won't go anywhere near places like that. And, like, you can go into quiet river tributaries where you see many villages and different places. And there's some rapids. And so some boats are notorious for just speeding, like Lord. They're, like, missiles shooting through the river. And, like, but generally, like, your first place to stop is a village called Fengyond. And that's about a day's up the river from Brazzaville. And Fengyond has a really great hotel and restaurant overlooking the Congo River and some rapids. And there's like, it's sort of like the Amazon actually has a lot more traffic as well. But you'll see a lot of boat traffic and you'll see a lot of human activity on the river. And everyone will be waving to you. You can go fishing. You can cook your fish. I say, like, you can even get boats for up to 10 people, like traditional pirogues. Mm-hmm. But if you try to go it yourself, you'll pay minimum $200. But
that's $200 for how many days?
For one day.
For one day.
So you can sort of make the cost per day and the safety level like a lot higher if you have a tour. But if you're just going for a day or two, you can also negotiate like a pretty good tour from one of several websites and stuff. But you can look around Mamiwata for like a boat to go into the river if you just want to kind of park in the middle and watch the river life for a day.
Mm-hmm. And did you arrange you went on a tour, you said, did you arrange that locally or did you arrange that via the internet?
A combination of both. Mm-hmm. I contacted a few people via the internet, but I didn't hand anything over until I got there. In retrospect, I wish I did because it just made a lot more hassle. I went to Mamiwata, and there's a bunch of boats just waiting around there. And I took a little trip to the middle of the river to take a photo for my wife. I did a tour for 4 days, and then with a Jeep going back, or like a 4x4 going back. Certainly, like the first day, like you really, really, your eyes are wide open at all the activity on the river. And the second day after you get past Fengyan, you're going into small little river tributaries, and it seems like you're just a world away from any of the urban Africa that you've been seeing when you arrived. And it's just like sprawling rainforest. You see, like I've heard that some of like the markets in the Congo River they turn up species of fish that haven't even been documented, and people are selling and eating them. And there's so much like thriving life in the river. Mm-hmm. And like sounds in the trees. There's amazing birds. You can sight primates as well. It's better off to go to the national parks if you want to see primates, but there's lots of animals you can see, including lowland gorillas. and the tributaries of the River Congo. And yeah, it's quite a sight. I think it's one of the coolest things I've ever done.
So this is not the same as the jungle cruise at Disneyland, even though they told us we were on the Congo River.
Well, I haven't been to Disneyland. I might be really thrilled with that. Who knows? Yeah, but me and my wife are our mentors. We work aboard this semester at Sea Ship.
Oh, excellent.
That ship, they go up the Amazon at least once a year, sometimes twice. And that is also a very, very thrilling journey. I mean, we can definitely see the connection between there and its long-lost ancestor, the Congo River. But the Congo River, it certainly feels a whole lot more alive. And you're kind of closer to the riverbanks, and you hear a lot more noise at night. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of like something out of Heart of Darkness or a movie, but like you can really relax and you can even sip like a beer or two, and like you can go fishing and you can sort of do that at your will. Like there's no rush or like really tight schedule. I mean, it is the Congo after all.
So you're on the Congo River. What was your biggest surprise?
I think the amount of traffic. I think the types of boats too. I'm not really sure where they're built or where they come from, but there are the infamous slow moving barges where there's like lots of platforms like tacked to each other, and there's just like they're overcrowded with people. And I only saw that once, but there's like really, really clean speedboats going back and forth. And there's people with like who look like middle class or upper class Congolese just like enjoying vacations on the river. Other surprises, just how many animals you hear and how many fish you see. Like I would think that because it was such a population center that it would be more difficult to see wildlife or it had been poached. And I hear that is a problem further up in the DRC. But yeah, there's a whole lot of wildlife just sort of right under your fingertips and all below you. It's a pretty impressive feeling.
And in terms of the wildlife, the most interesting two or three things that you saw?
Oh, that would have to be in one of the national parks. I would say that any sort of, I hope primatologists don't kill me, but I believe there's two types of gorillas in the Congo. There's the mountain gorillas and the lowland gorillas. I think I just saw the lowland ones.
Mm-hmm. You're not a wildlife guy is really what you're saying at this point.
No, I'm not a wildlife guy for sure, but there's something about it. Virgin Galactic's tagline is like, yeah, this is very expensive, but it'll change your life if you see the Earth from space. Mm-hmm. And there's something about looking into a gorilla's eyes and encountering one that does sort of change you forever. They're so humid, it's unbelievable. And it like really, really touches you. So I think that was one of the most shocking experiences I had there, and definitely in Africa as well.
Okay.
Aside from them throwing stuff at you if they don't like you. If you're wanting on the boat, the gorillas, if like they get annoyed, they'll start throwing like rotten stuff at you and branches.
Okay. What next?
Close to Pointe Noire, the city away to the west, there is a park that the short name is Dooley National Park or Dooley National Park. I'd heard that the movie Avatar got some of its inspiration from Madagascar and some rainforests in Africa. There are some plants that a little after sunset for a few hours, they sort of generate like glowing light. And if you touch some of them, they glow and pulsate. And it is something like out of the movie. And that was pretty special. I've never seen anything like that before either.
Wow. Now, you're talking about going now towards the coast. When you got on the boat, were you heading towards the coast? I was picturing you were heading inland.
Now, when you get on the boat, you generally always go inland toward the interior.
Okay. All right. So this is then a separate trip than you went to the coast.
Yes.
Got it.
So if you're coming into Congo, I mean, a typical route, I would say that a best suggested route would be to fly into Pointe Noire on the coast and enjoy what they say is the best of the African expat life and see Dooley National Park with chimpanzees, elephants, lots of special animals and fish. Then you could take the new jungle train, which is active as of 2013. Mm-hmm. It goes twice or three times a week. You can either do it through a tour agency or try to book tickets yourself if you have a lot of patience. And that you can get in first class. They might not always give you first class if you try to do it yourself. You can get a first class, very comfortable cabin for a day ride through like beautiful jungles, villages, what looks like some old volcanoes. And then you arrive in Brazzaville off the train with lots of great photos. From there, you can chill. You can go see the Brazza Memorial, which I mentioned. You can also go see a tank graveyard outside of Brazzaville about an hour out. And it's what looks like hundreds of old rusting war machines and tanks and lots of things that were obviously fighting over like Africa's world war, where something like 9 countries and 14 different parties were fighting over Africa, even more at some various points too. But they're all in a giant sort of hill on top of each other by the side of the road. And so you can access that from Brazzaville too. Once you get to the capital, I would say consider a river trip at least 3 to 5 days. And that'll be very, very stellar. And you can take as many people as you want on that. And it brings down the price considerably if you go with a lot of people, especially when you get into cars and hotels and stuff. Well, the next thing you should do is you should organize a trip to Luana National Park. Mm-hmm. And there you're guaranteed to see gorillas and have a really, really close, intimate experience with them. On the way there, you'll see what looks like something out of Tanzania in the Ngorongoro Crater. There's a very, very sweeping savanna-like place. And there's kind of like clouds trickling down over the top, sort of like Table Mountain in South Africa. Mm. And there's something called, I guess it's just Blue Lake, Lac Bleu, at the bottom. And I swam in it. I don't know if I'd recommend people to swim in it, but they say it's perfectly clean. There's no one around for miles. And then you'll arrive at Luanda National Park, where you can stay at a lodge, either organized through like a tour agency, or if you can find the office of the place in Brazzaville. You'll meet with something like a dozen infant gorillas, like small orphans. Mm-hmm. And you can't go too close. They keep you separated by a small river or by a platform because they don't want humans infecting the gorillas. But they're very, very cute, and they come out for feeding. You can watch them as long as you want for about an hour or two. Yeah, they're pretty funny. They kind of check you out. They stare you down and like, I don't know, they don't really treat you like anything different from they treat each other. Like, I mean, in body language and gestures. And so, yeah, it's kind of humbling and kind of nice. And then in the same park, you will then go to another location. You can generally usually see an adult male. He's solitary, so he won't have anyone with him. He just sits and eats and stuff, but he looks very, very immensely strong and powerful and very, very human as well.
Excellent. In terms of language getting around, obviously this used to be a French colony. You mentioned the Italian French explorer who started the place. Do you get around with French? Are the people speaking their tribal languages? How easy was it to get around from a language basis?
Linguistically, they all speak French. I'd mm-hmm. say they all know a little bit of English and they're eager to learn. In the capital, you have no problem with English. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. On the capital, also, you have no problem with Chinese. There's a lot of Chinese going there, and a lot of people are warming up to get their money. So I think those are the three functional languages in the capital. And shoot, is it Lingala is the main language of the river towns and lots of the tribes along the river. There's a diverse smattering of different languages in the Congo, but Lingala is the main tribal language. And there's lots of music in Lingala, which is fantastic, that you'll hear all the time.
Who is the local you met that you really wish other people could meet?
I met a chap named Aldo who used to help, how you say, dock workers and seamen get from the capital to either to their docks or ships in Point Noire. And he also would help oil workers. He was bilingual, but he just had a newborn baby. He was very friendly. He sort of took me all over the town. He took me out clubbing one night. He took me to lots of restaurants. He took me to meet his family.
And this is just a friendship that started
through the couch surfers that I was staying
through
with.
Couch surfers. Okay, excellent.
There's a lot of remarkable people that stood out to me. Like the couple who was hosting me, they had lots and lots of their students just come over for practice afterwards. And so, I mean, there was just a lot of friendly kids and stuff. And like, unlike a lot of African capitals, in Brazzaville, you can walk at night and it's totally fine. And Kinshasa, you can't say that. And Kinshasa's not as bad as it sounds either. But in Brazzaville, it sort of feels like being outside in like an Asian capital or something. It's pretty chill. It's not really a menacing feeling anywhere. There's a lot of people on the streets, a lot of kids running around, and it's just nice. There's barbecues at night. People are just like drinking on informal bars on the roadside and like wave you over. Yeah, there's really good vibes everywhere.
Before we wind this up, what else should we know before we go to the Congo? Before we go to the Republic of Congo, sorry.
I guess you should give yourself at least 1 to 4 weeks. Unless you're just there on business. You should have patience. You could go with too little money, but it's more important you go with not too little time. I guess you can think of the Congo as all on one axis. You can go from Point Noire all the way up to the border with Central African Republic and see stellar national parks on the way. You can more or less do the whole Congo in one straight line. And then you can also do the river as well from the capital.
Excellent.
For preparations, the visa may sound pretty daunting, but it takes 3 days to get the visa for anyone who's interested in going. Congo Travel and Tours can arrange a visa or an invitation letter in 2 days. And you can also email McHale's Hotel or Ledger Plaza Hotel or a smattering of the five-star hotels. And if you book a room with them, they'll also issue you an invitation letter for the visa. But it's no problem. They're very, very happy to have tourists. And you can usually get your visa within 3 days processing time.
Excellent. One thing that you should pack before you go to the Republic of Congo.
If you're going in summer, it's going to be cooler than you think. It'll be pretty comfortable, but you should probably pack a windbreaker or a light jacket. But it's a very, very nice time to be there. You should certainly bring your prophylaxis for malaria and stuff, but you probably know that if you've gone to Asia or Africa before. You should bring all your documents in acute and absolute order to speed your time through the airport, including your invitation letter, including like your letters from your travel agency or in your hotel. I guess you should all just bring a sense of humor and patience.
Last two questions. Finish the sentence. You really know you're in the Republic of Congo when what?
You're in the middle of an expansive, vast rainforest. And with the most gorgeous night sky you've ever seen, with like deafening animal sounds around you. And then you awake to see elephants, chimpanzees, gorillas, whatever it is, in a clearing, just completely ignoring your presence on the other side of the clearing. And you feel very, very, very far from home. And you feel like you're really in the raw and real Africa. And it's maybe hard to get that from some of the traditional African destinations nowadays. So I think the Congo is a pretty special place.
Excellent. And I said two last questions. I forgot to ask, you're in the prettiest spot that you went to in Republic of Congo. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
You're in Luanda National Park, about 3 to 4 hours north of Brazzaville. And you're on the rim of a giant canyon looking down on this crystal blue lake below you while clouds roll over the other side. And you try to spot gorillas on the other side of the canyon in the lowlands.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize the Republic of Congo in just 3 words, what 3 words would you use?
Rainforest, river, gorillas. that's definitely like sums up the Congo.
You had me at gorillas. And is there a place that people can read more about your travels?
You could find me, Chris, at travelertrader.com. That's traveler with one L. And there's all sorts of stuff about traveling and investing around the world to fund your travels on there. If anyone is interested in living and owning a home in a large adventure world cruise ship that never stops traveling the world, you can send me a mail at chrisonaship@gmail.com and we'll set that up for you.
And just so people know what Chris is talking about, he was telling me while we weren't recording that he is now working for, and I can't remember the name of the company.
Aboard the World.
Aboard the World, which is the cruise ship that you can basically buy a condo on. I mean, it's basically a cruise ship that you can own part of and go around the world full time.
Yeah, generally you can retire or own a second home on the ship and it puts you on the doorstep of many new destinations almost every day.
Chris, thanks so much for coming back on The Amateur Traveler and sharing with us another more off the beaten path destination, which seems to be when we talk.
Yes, sure. I guess I should say at the end, for the really great books about the Congo, there actually Michael Crichton has a book called Travels, where he talks about going to see the gorillas himself, and it rather inspired me to go to the region.
A nonfiction book, yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty superb. I think people that take you to the Congo, there's very, very professional old company called World Primate Safaris and Congo Gorilla Tours, and they deliver some high-end but high-quality tours. There's Congo Traveling Tours, which are maybe along the lines of Intrepid Travel with price and like group size and take you anywhere. And there's also Go Congo, which is a Belgian operator who I'm pretty keen on. They're pretty superb, but they're more focused on the DRC sometimes and sometimes the Republic of Congo too.
Well, that makes more sense since DRC was Belgian.
Yeah, but all three are superb and they can get you a visa. They're available online. And I guess I would also say that really don't worry about safety as much as you might think you would. If you've been to other places in Africa, Brazzaville, even according to the State Department and all of the most the biggest worry wards, is far safer than Nairobi or Johannesburg and Lagos. So you'll be fine. Just be vigilant, but be sensible, and you'll have a really great experience. I think it'll have like all of the Africa you're looking for there.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming back on, Chris.
Sure thing.
I got an email this week from Dan who wanted to comment on the episode on the Navajo Nation. It appeared that the guest did not spend as long at Monument Valley as it might deserve. About 10 years ago, we took a guided tour by open pickup truck of the valley that lasted perhaps an hour or two. Way better than hanging out at the visitor center and just looking. We also did a horseback tour just outside of the valley, and that was pretty awesome also. Thanks, Dan. I didn't know that there were tours available. I thought it was something that you just drove through and saw, so good to know. The only other thing I wanted to say is with the change in the day job, I'll have a little more location independence. It does raise the question for me of, is it time again to start talking about an amateur traveler tour? We did the photo tour of Egypt, and those of you who missed it clearly missed a great opportunity to get to Egypt, since our timing was sadly very good and it's been difficult to get back to Egypt since then. So I'm curious, if we should do a tour, would you be interested? And if so, where should we go? With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler, because I have no days off now, so this is a work day for me. If you have any questions, feel free to send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com or leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Chris2X or join the Facebook community, facebook.com/amateurtraveler. And as always, thanks so much for listening.